Welcome to Bobby Osinski's Inner Circle. I'm Bobby Osinski, and this is a show all about music, music production, and the music business. My guest today is Jay Clark, and he's the founder of Earpiece Hearing Protectors. But first of all, let's talk about pirated goods. Believe it or not, piracy is back in the news, but it's actually coming from a good place this time. Pirating, of course, is becoming less and less of a problem to the music industry, and after a couple of announcements this week, it's going to be even more so, or less so, I should say. Big announcement coming out of Germany is that the German officials over there made a huge bust of 2 million pirated records, CDs, and DVDs. Now, it turns out that most of these were pressed in Poland, transported to Germany, and that's where they were distributed from. Mostly for Europe, but some made their way into America, and of course, it's every single artist you can think of that's popular, but mostly aimed at the European market, because right now, that's become very, very hot for vinyl. Just as it was here, they're a couple years behind us, so right now the fervor is really intense for vinyl, and we're seeing that happen, and as a result, we're seeing more and more pirated goods that's happening. There was a lot. 2 million pieces, it was several tons worth that they found, and it was a very sophisticated distribution network, but that's all actually been taken down. So if you're used to buying these things, and no one wants to really buy pirated material if they're not aware of it. Of course, if you think you're getting a deal, you know it's pirated, then I can see why people will do it, especially if they're short on dough. But most of us really want the real thing and are willing to pay the extra money and feel that if we buy something that's pirated and pay full price for it, then we feel cheated, as we should. Another big news on the pirating front is that the French pirate site what.cd has been shut down this last week. And this has been one of the tougher ones for the music industry to actually crack. Of course, they're out of France and they had servers all over the world. And the way they kind of got around everything was their, I won't say invitation only, but really you had to know somebody to get access. They're very selective in who they let in, but apparently they had a huge, huge, huge library of material. You can get almost anything you want. That being said, they were shut down last week and all of their servers, there are 12 of them, were destroyed. They were blasted to bits, so they're not coming online anytime soon. So I would say that's a pretty good thing as far as the music industry is concerned. That being said, piracy is less and less of an issue as we get into streaming because it's just not cost-effective to pirate something these days. And of course, that's a really good thing. If you have any questions or comments, please send them to questions@bobbyowinnercircle.com. Don't forget to check out my new music producer formula course as well as my other online courses at bobbyosinskicourses.com. For more of my music industry and music production blogs, just go to bobbyosinski.com to find the links, where you can also read excerpts from my books. Now, THX is getting into tour sound. Of course, we're familiar with THX from when we go to the movies. It's been around for, about 30 years now, maybe a little bit more. And the reason why THX was actually created was to solve a big problem in movie theater sound. Basically, what that was is every theater was tuned differently for audio. So what sounded great in one theater would sound really crappy in another, mostly because they had different gear and any kind of equalizers that they had kind of random frequency responses that were programmed in. So THX, which actually stands for Tom Holman Experiment, Tom Holman was the chief scientist for Lucasfilm at the time. He's now the head of audio direction at Apple. That was his idea. He never got paid a dime for it. That's not fair, is it? In the meantime, after most of the theaters had converted to THX, this is around the world, the market was pretty saturated. So THX tried to get into the home theater, home audio, and home studio business. And the whole idea behind THX is they certify certain gear. In order for you to have a certified THX room, you have to buy the gear that's on their certified list, and then someone comes in and they tune it. While that may sound like a good idea, it never really caught on anything other than theaters. But now the big news is THX is trying to get into touring sound. They want to get into certifying all the touring gear. And what they think they can do is improve the design and the implementation and the alignment of all the audio systems for optimal playback. Why? Well, they claim they will get a better sweet spot as a result, more consistent coverage, and even improvement of vocal quality. Good luck with that, THX, because if you think recording studios were very precious about their sound systems, about their playback systems, guess what? Boy, sound reinforcement companies are the same way. And I don't think they're going to be asking THX to come in anytime soon to tune their rigs. Unless, of course, the artists start to demand it. If the artists demanded it, then they'll let them do anything they want. But I don't see that happening anytime soon unless there's something huge that happens and all of a sudden everybody goes, wow, THX is the way to go. Myself, I don't think it's a question of the gear. The gear, in many ways, is better than ever before. I'm not as crazy about line array speakers as what we had in the old days with all of the horn-loaded products that we had. I think they did sound vastly better, but that being said, most of the problems that we have today is not gear-related, it's mixer-related. And I've railed against this before, but I believe that a whole generation, and maybe it's two generations now, of mixers learned the wrong way. The way we used to learn way back when was that the most important thing on the stage was the vocal because it was the quietest. So you'd spend the most time on that and you'd boost that up and you'd boost everything around it. But that's not the way it works. What happens is you basically get a giant kick drum, maybe a snare drum, and then vocal and maybe everything else. And sometimes you go to a concert and it sounds like one big kick drum with everybody else kind of joining in. So to me, that's the biggest problem. It's not the gear whatsoever. It's the drivers. Ear protection is something that all of us should take seriously all the time, but the design of the best hearing protectors haven't changed in a really long time. Jay Clark felt he could design a better ear protector and came up with Earpiece, a product that's now been endorsed and branded by a variety of clubs and festivals and even companies like Red Bull and bands like Metallica. I spoke with Jay recently about Earpiece improvements over other hearing protectors. I really do think that you're onto something very cool. Why don't we begin by just explaining to me about how Earpiece came about?
Sure. So it was a very kind of hands-on kind of impact experience. My girlfriend took me to Carnival in Trinidad, and we played mass for a couple of days in costume, dancing all day long next to these rolling speaker stacks. They take 18-wheelers and convert them into rolling speaker stacks. And so they connect maybe six or eight of those together via Wi-Fi, and you just got this, long train of people dancing. And, you do that for a couple of days, and the ringing in my ears was louder than the waves on the beach that we were sitting on. And I said to Nancy, I was like, I can't ever do that again without awesome hearing protection. And she kind of patted me on the arm. And she's like, okay, old man, we'll get you hearing protection when you get home. I said, no. I want awesome hearing protection. Like, I'm only going to wear awesome hearing protection. I don't want these crappy foam earplugs. And she's like, okay, we'll look for awesome hearing protection. And that's the light bulb went off. And I was like, have you ever actually seen awesome hearing protection? Because I like to go out and party a lot. And I've never seen anything but these crappy foam earplugs. And so I got home and kind of bought all of the existing sort of high fidelity hearing protection that was on the market sort of back in 2008 when I had the idea. And everything was terrible. I mean, some of the products were okay, but the way that the products were marketed was awful. And the messaging, the way that these companies were partnered with the music industry, et cetera, was just dying for some new life. And I started the company about 3 months later. It was a kind of a niche play, but I really felt like with the right product and the right sort of messaging and partnering inside of the music industry, that you could really make a difference. And it was also particularly meaningful to me because I come from a family of doctors. And I'm one of the few that is not a doctor of some kind. And but it's always been, it's always been a big part of kind of like my sort of socialization and sort of a commitment to being, outward looking to take care of the world in some way. And, I've been a yoga teacher. I've done other sort of very socially engaged kind of things, but this was a way for me also to really turn my profession into doing something helpful. So it has been particularly gratifying.
Now, I'm a big fan of the Etymotic ER20s, and I've been using them for a long time before I found earpieces. And you're right about the marketing. Marketing was atrocious, but on the other hand, after meeting the people at a conference, I kind of understood why. They were older, first of all. They came out of the hearing aid industry, of which they're very big and very prominent. And this is sort of a sidelight. And for the most part, most other hearing protection companies were like that. So you're right on in that there's not another company that was kind of hip and new and was aiming at the right demographic. So very cool that you picked up on that.
Thank you. I feel like we have, if you look at the companies that we compete with, you will see huge similarities with the way that they go to market and what we're doing. And it's been a lot of fun staying a couple steps ahead of these guys, but we really changed the industry. We really did make hearing protection cool. And we really changed the ballgame, which is awesome. We work with lots of artists. We work with DJs. We work with musicians. Like Metallica sells our product as their merchandise. We had, last year, we had Zildjian come to us at NAMM, and they came, they talked to us for a while. They came back the following day. They talked to us again. They came back the following day. They talked to us again. And then they chose us as their hearing protection partner. And they co-brand with us. We don't OEM the product for them. They were just they liked our brand so much that they decided that it would be more more profitable, ultimately, but have more of an impact if they co-branded with us rather than just OEM the product. And I know that Etymotic was really gunning hard for them to resell the ER20s as their drummer earpiece.
I'm actually kind of surprised that they went that far, but earpiece has so much more going on for it just from the standpoint of you were able to change the amount of attenuation, you get an extra earpiece. And not only that, I think the carrying case is much hipper as well.
Sure. We really wanted kids especially to really start thinking about hearing protection as just an accessory that you have with you all the time. Whether you're going to, a spin class, or you're going to the movies, or you're going to a show, or you're going to a nightclub or a bar, there's kind of always a good reason to have it with you. And having something that is stylish and sleek, and you can stick it on your keychain and forget about it, was kind of the way that we envisioned the use case. And we get a huge amount of feedback from people that that's exactly what they do. So,
how long did it take you to develop the product? I mean, you started basically from an idea. So how did it come to fruition it's at now?
So it took 18 months of doing R&D to finding a manufacturer to setting up the company, doing an R&D, finding a manufacturer, doing all the artwork, doing all the packaging, getting all the processes set up, finding a fulfillment center, all the nuts and bolts took 18 months of putting together. And it was something that I did at night. So I had a day job, which is the main reason why it took so long. I think if I were to do something again today with everything that I've learned, I could probably get it off the ground in a couple of months. But working at night and really cutting my teeth on the whole, really learning everything from scratch, it took me 18 months.
Well, it's hard enough just to learn how to make something like that, let alone the marketing as well. There's a lot to learn. And I have to say, you did great with the marketing, considering that you have branding with so many huge brands. Co-branding, I should say. It's awesome. Metallica, Burning Man, Bonnaroo, Red Bull, right? You have Red Bull?
Red Bull, yeah. Red Bull, it's the other thing that we have always kind of been very careful about is that we sell our product, right? Like, we are a small social enterprise and we sell our product. This is 100% self-financed, right? We don't have any funding. We don't have any investors. This is something that I built from the ground up and that has made enough money to sort of carry itself as an ongoing concern. A lot of companies would work with Red Bull they would pay Red Bull to put Red Bull on their product and then give the product away at an event.
Yeah.
But we've never done that with anybody. People buy Earpiece. They buy Earpiece because it really works. We did a ton of research on why people don't wear hearing protection and really looked to solve those problems. And, it's a product people really want to use. So we're really proud of the partnerships, and we spend a lot of time getting them right.
Well, let's go there for a second. You said you spend a lot of time doing research on why people don't wear hearing protection. What did you find out?
Mm-hmm. So people don't wear hearing protection for three primary reasons. The first is that it destroys sound quality. That it's just, people do not like to have a muffled sound experience, and they're willing to forgo hearing protection if it's going to really screw up what they're hearing. This is also a big deal when they're trying to communicate. So if you're at a show, you really want to be able to talk to your friends. Big deal. So we needed to build something that would allow, and there's multiple technologies. The technology that we chose is a attenuation filter that allows a precise amount of unobstructed sound to enter the ear in a specific way. And it delivers a great audio experience. So that's the first thing. The second thing is comfort. People are really, really sensitive about having things in their ear at all. Foam ear plugs are generally, if you really don't know what you're doing, they're hard to put on. They're not particularly comfortable. They can get hot in your ear. It was extraordinarily important that we use really high-end materials and that we got you know, example, like the thickness of the silicone for the flange to be the exact right weight. Third thing is style. People really don't want to be seen necessarily wearing hearing protection, you know, like, and it's more of the, you know, sort of like big orange foamies. Like people just don't want to be in a nightclub wearing big orange foamies in their ear.
Yeah. Right.
So we made them super discreet and made them in three different skin tones because not everybody's the same color. And we wanted everybody to feel like we were thinking about them and create a personal experience, something that they could, you know, enjoy and really, again, like adopt as an accessory to their sort of entertainment lifestyle.
Well, I can tell you as a musician and as someone, an engineer and producer, I wear hearing protection an awful lot in the studio. And the reason why is many times you'll have a band, you'll have an artist that really wants to crank the level up. And if that happens, then I'm done. You know, then instead of being able to work 8 or 10 hours, then you got me for a couple. So I've learned that I have to wear hearing protection. But then again, if you can tell that I'm wearing it, then people start to think, well, wait a second, what's going on? Is he deaf or, you know, I mean, there's all sorts of things that they, instead of thinking, well, he has golden ears, they're thinking just something opposite. So something that's discreet is important, that's for sure. The other thing is, now I have some permanent hearing loss in my left ear, and it didn't come from level so much. Believe it or not, it's when I was playing in bands as a kid and as a professional without hearing protection. It was because of the side of the stage that I would always stand on and hearing the cymbals. And the cymbals would be the thing from the drummer that would be the thing that would, you know, just go through my head, go through my ears. And that caused more damage than loud amplification. So I think, you know, as far as musicians are concerned, they don't understand how important that is. Everybody likes level, everybody likes volume. But the problem is, you know, you really have to be careful and have to protect yourself because sometimes the damage comes from a place where you don't expect it.
Totally. And, you know, if you're a younger musician, the temptation to go without and not process sort of like the long-term impact of permanent hearing loss is unfortunately all too common. And I think one of the things that people don't understand also about hearing loss is that it's cumulative, right?
Yeah.
But it's also your body, you naturally have hearing loss as you get older, right? So, but if you accelerate the process where you would normally start to lose your hearing, you know, maybe in your 60s, you might start losing your hearing in your 30s. So it's not that you're going to have hearing loss right away, but it's that your body's natural hearing loss is going to start a lot sooner.
Now, I can tell you that I know several engineers that had to retire because of hearing loss, and even some famous producers, Quincy Jones, George Martin, they retired mostly because they couldn't hear any longer. I remember I did an interview with Quincy at his house, and a lovely man. And one of the things that he was telling me, he was so overjoyed because he had just come back from a famous hospital in Europe. I can't remember the name of it. It was some famous institute. And he was over the moon with the new hearing aids that he got. And he was saying, you know what, these are so good, I could almost go in the studio again. And part of me felt so happy for him, and the other part felt so sad. You know, it was like, wow, you know, good for you, but this is what happens, which is a drag.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. I can't tell you how many stories that I've heard like that, you know, over the years.
Now, you have a number of different products. Tell me about them. So there's the HD, and then there's the original. What's the difference?
So the HD is a little bit more robust. It has a little bit more robust design. And the filters are different. They attenuate more sound. They're a more sophisticated filter. The attenuation is flatter. And it was round two of R&D for us. And when I developed the original earpiece, even though Europe was a market, of course, that I was considering, my focus was on the U.S. and the development was on the U.S. And in the U.S., you tell the consumer what the product does, right? You had it tested at a lab, and then you get a noise reduction rating. And then that noise reduction rating, all you have to do is put it on the packaging and tell the customer what it is. You could have a noise reduction rating of 3 decibels, and that would be totally fine. And that would be a product that you could market, no problem. In Europe, there are minimum thresholds for each frequency level. Original earpiece did not meet those specs. Hmm. So, came to market in the U.S. And pretty much immediately went into another round of R&D to come up with a product that I could also market to Europeans, and wanted multiple filters to provide options, especially if you were going to market this as a higher end product with more uses, especially to musicians. So, you might be just playing a really, really loud gig and need, high protection filters, or you might be, doing an acoustic set and you just need something in the mid range.
Yeah.
So that's the main difference. And then we partnered with, ACS Custom to be the manufacturer for our custom fit earplugs. And we chose them because they were small. They use great filters. These the DEC filters, which are the main competitor to Edemotic. They're a bunch of really personal guys. They work in a lab up in New York City in Manhattan, which we really liked. And so that's the spectrum and the differences of what we sell.
Okay, so the custom fit, though, you don't seem to emphasize as well. I guess they're a lot more expensive, too.
Sure, and they're more expensive. And what we wanted was we wanted to provide an option, especially for musicians, because if you are a musician, the fidelity of the sound is so important, and $185 investment in your lifelong hearing health as a musician is such a no-brainer. And because we work with a lot of musicians, we work with a lot of events, and we do a lot of co-branding, there's a lot of trust. There's a lot of trust in our brand. So if we could bring something, if we could offer something, put our brand behind it, and encourage people to be that much more serious about their hearing health, we were excited to do that.
How long do the original ones and the HDs, how long before they wear out?
So then that's a tough question. I literally have had people come to NAMM with the original case that we used to sell a bigger case where all three plugs went inside. With the original case, with the original plugs, like 4 years before,
yeah.
Or 5 years before. And they're like, I still have the same plugs and they still work great.
yeah, okay.
It's like, if you take care of them and, you keep them clean, they kind of last for as long as you don't lose them. I always joke that you'll lose them before you wear them out.
Yeah.
That's especially true of the HDs. we always say, like, you know, it's and a lot of it's just common sense. It's like, look, if there's a tear or if there's something else, you know, write in and we'll send, you know, we'll give you special access to our replacements page where you can buy just the earplugs. You know, I generally say that you'll wear them out before, or you'll lose them before you wear them out.
Yeah,
and
sure.
The other thing is they are 100% guaranteed. So within any time within the first 3 months, if they do rip or they do tear for any reason, we'll give you new ones.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Are you working on any other products?
We are doing R&D now on sort of our earpiece 3.0. Hope to have that out before Christmas.
So what's the difference?
So the difference is it'll be an updated design. It will have flatter attenuation filters.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So the attenuation will be better.
Well, speaking of which, our hearing isn't linear, so the filters, I assume, are not linear either, right?
The filters are all the filter performance is on the website. Because of the phenomenon of the way that sound works, you're always going to have more bass enter the ear than the treble. So there's more bass, there's less bass attenuated than the higher frequencies. But you're really going to notice the fidelity, which is in the higher frequencies, as you know. So the attenuation is quite flat, you know, sort of in the 2000, 1000, 2000 frequency levels and up.
Got it. Okay, last question. This has been quite a journey for you, and basically you bootstrapped the whole thing. You did this by yourself. Very impressive. What advice did you get from somebody, or did you get any advice, business advice, that helped you along the way, or maybe you learned something? What was the most important thing?
Oh, I think that the most important thing, I did bootstrap this, and that this has all been like, it was my money that got this going. But when Earpiece really took off, is when I started working with one of my really good friends from business school, and he came on full time, and, you know, I gave him a chunk of the company, and we've been going at it ever since. And I think the number one thing that I learned, is that you're just like 1 + 1 = 4. Right. Get other people on board. You know, get other people on board. Get other ideas in the hopper. You can't do it all yourself. It's impossible to switch between, you know, marketing, finance, sales, operations, all in one day, all the time. Right. It's not efficient. And it is, there's just always going to be things that you naturally don't do as well. So I've got my partner, Ryan, who knows you, from the metal group, has been absolutely instrumental, in growing Earpiece and the success of where it is today.
One plus one equals four. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
To learn more about Earpiece, go to earpiece.com. That's EARPEACE. Earpiece, all one word, .com. Thanks for listening and being my inner circle. Remember, if you have any questions or comments, you can send them to questions@bobbyoinnercircle.com. To listen to other episodes of Bobby Osinski's Inner Circle, go to bobbyosinski.com and select the podcast tab, or go to bobbyoinnercircle.com, or find it on iTunes, Stitcher, Mixcloud, and Google Play. At bobbyosinski.com and bobbyoinnercircle.com, you'll also find a sign-up form for my newsletter and for alerts for new podcasts. This is Bobby Osinski. I will see you next time.